Our gospel reading comes this evening from John 15, verses 1 to 8. These are the words of Jesus. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The word of the Lord. Would you pray with me, please? Gracious God, we thank you for this time of worship in which we gather to sing the songs of our faith and to pray prayers for our friends and loved ones, as well as the community and the world. We would ask tonight, Lord, that your Spirit would move in such a way that we would sense your presence in our lives and be drawn closer to our relationship with Jesus. Open our hearts and minds to receive your word this evening and give us faith to not only believe, but to grow and bear fruit. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In the movie The Shawshank Redemption, there's a story about a banker who is falsely accused and convicted of a crime, and he spends the next 19 years in prison. His name in the movie was Andy Dufresne. If you've seen the movie, you remember maybe perhaps that scene where Andy is sitting in the prison yard with his friend Red. And it's very evident that Andy has reached a point in his life where he's making some decisions. And he says to his friend Red, I guess it comes down to a simple choice. Get busy living or get busy dying. As we watch that scene in the movie, it's very clear that Andy has drawn a line in the sand, and something is going to change in his life in the next few scenes that we see. It's as if the trajectory of his life is taking a different path because of a decision that he's made. I often think about that line, get busy living, when I think about what it means to grow in our faith in Jesus Christ. And I want to ask a question this evening. I want to pose it to you as I pose it to myself. And the question is simply this. Are you being intentional in how you grow in your faith? There's really two key words in that question. The first key word is intentional. Are we doing it on purpose? Is our discipleship part of a plan in our faith journey? And the second key word in that question is the word grow. Are we growing more and more into the likeness of Jesus? Is the character of Christ being manifested in our daily walk? So are you being intentional about how you grow in your faith? The gospel lesson from John's gospel, the 15th chapter, is one of the many I am statements that John shares with us in the words of Jesus. You may remember some of those I am statements in the Gospel of John. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And in this text in John 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine and you are the branches. In these words, Jesus gives us a wonderful metaphor of our discipleship, our relationship with Him. Throughout that text that we read from the 15th chapter of John, There's a word that continues to be lifted up. And in the version that I read, it was the word remain. Jesus said, if I remain in you and you remain in me, or my word remains in you and you remain in me. In other translations, we see the word abide. If I abide in you and you abide in me. I kind of like that word better because it shares an image of living with Jesus, abiding with Jesus. Clearly, the intent that Jesus is sharing in these words and this metaphor of the vine and the branches is that we are to continue in our relationship, this life-giving relationship that Jesus offers us. In fact, he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. When I was a little boy, we had some things in the area of the state in which I lived. We called them hills back then. I grew up in Southeast Ohio, and over the past 25 years, I've grown accustomed to the flatlands of Central Ohio, but as a boy, I wandered the hills in my backyard in the woods. One particular summer, my friends and I found a very large wild grapevine that had grown up the side of an oak tree. And we convinced one of the dads in our neighborhood to turn it into a swing for us. And so he cut it off at the base and he notched a place on for our feet to go on the vine. It must have been that big around. And so all summer long we would swing out on this grapevine over a ravine and we would swing back. This is just kind of what we did that summer. We had a ball with it. Well, summer turned into fall, as it often does. Fall turned into winter, and winter turned into spring. And one of those first nice warm spring days, my friends and I, we said, let's go find the vine and let's swing on it. So we climbed the hill, we found the vine, and I stuck my foot in that little notch that was cut out, and I swung it out over the ravine. And you know what happened? I fell. It crashed. The vine broke loose from the limbs of the tree. It had died after 7 or 8 months of not being connected to its source of life. I can't help but remember that feeling of falling into that ravine. Every time I read these words of Jesus where he says, apart from me, you can do nothing, not even one thing. Truth is, friends, if we're trying to live our life, especially our life of faith, without staying connected to Christ, our faith will not flourish. In fact, it will diminish. Jesus offers us a warning in John 15. He says that any branch that does not bear fruit will be cut off and will wither, and it will be cast into a fire and burned. But the good news is, he says that then any branch that does bear fruit will be pruned so that it will be more fruitful. I don't know about you, but the concept of being pruned does not sound like a good thing to me. We had a great conversation a week ago in our Tuesday morning Bible study when we discussed this passage, and many of us were trying to answer the question, what does it look like for God to prune us? Now, we all agreed that being pruned was much better than being cast into the fire and burned. But what we discovered as we listened to one another was that pruning often is circumstantial in our lives. Someone shared how when they became a Christian, they had to learn to distance themselves from certain relationships because those relationships were not allowing them to fully follow Jesus. They didn't cast people aside, but what they said was, I just had to spend time differently, and I couldn't go to the places I used to go and do the things I used to do. Someone else shared that when they became a Christian, God began to prune them by removing certain habits that they used to engage in. And they just found that in order to follow Jesus closely, they had to lose those bad habits. Others of us talked about how there were health problems that we had experienced in the past, and God used those circumstances to prune us, to make us more patient, or to grow our prayer life, or to increase our faith. I wonder this evening as you gather for worship how you might be being pruned in your life right now. And if you are being pruned, if you're going through a circumstance that is challenging and trying and you're wondering where God is, May I remind you this evening that God may be very close doing the pruning in your life, helping you to grow in your faith. I learned a while back that often what happens in a vineyard is a vine dresser will take a perfectly good and healthy branch of a grapevine and will intentionally cut parts of that branch off in order to funnel all the nutrients into a smaller clump of grapes, all for the purpose not of making more grapes, but better grapes, more flavorful grapes. I wonder if that's what Jesus had in mind when he talked about how his Father would prune us so that we may be more fruitful in our lives. I don't know about you, but there are seasons in my life when I would just prefer that God would not try to change me. There have been seasons in my life when I've grown accustomed to my habits. I've been accustomed to the way of life that I've chosen. And sometimes what I find is that God enters in and messes with my life. Have you ever experienced that, Herman?
Amen.
Here's what I often say. So often I say, maybe you say these things too. I say things like, I just want to keep things the way they are in my life or in my community or even in my church. I just don't want things to change. I want to maintain things just as they have been. How's that working for you? I'll tell you how it's working for me. I just celebrated a milestone birthday a few weeks ago, and I was thinking back several decades when I turned 30, and then when I turned 40, and then a few weeks ago when I turned 50, and what I've realized is my efforts of keeping things the way they were haven't worked out real well with my waistline or my hairline, or as my children like to remind me, with my laugh lines. And the reality is things just don't stay the same, do they? The status quo just doesn't seem to work. In fact, I might suggest to you this evening that the status quo is a myth. In faith, as in life, we are either moving forward or we're losing ground. We're either growing or we're diminishing. We can't tread water, at least not very long, can we? Maybe that's why Andy Dufresne sat in that prison courtyard after 19 years and told his friend Red, get busy living or get busy dying. I want to take a little bit of time this evening and talk more specifically about how we might allow our faith to grow, because we know it won't stay the same, will it? If we're not intentional about growing in our faith, chances are our faith will diminish. In our reading from 2 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter reminds the church that God, in God's power, has given us everything we need for a godly life. Everything we need to live a godly life. And in verse 5, Peter says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. And Peter lists various qualities, goodness and knowledge and self-control, perseverance and godliness, mutual affection and love. These are all characteristics of Jesus. And what Peter is encouraging us to do is to add to our faith these kinds of qualities, these Christ-like characteristics. And Peter uses an interesting word. The phrase that we translate, make every effort, is actually a Greek word that Peter uses. It's pronounced spoudai. In fact, say that with me, spoudai. I bet when you finished your dinner this evening, you thought, I can't wait to get to church to learn a new Greek word this evening. It's a really good word. In fact, what it means is, it means diligence or speed. Or if I were to paraphrase it, I would say it means get on with it. It's used 12 times in the New Testament. Let me share a few places where it's used. In Luke chapter 1, verse 39, it's the story of the Annunciation, where Mary has just heard the message from the angel that she is going to give birth to the Son of God. And the very first thing that Mary does when she learns this news of the oncoming birth of Jesus is that she runs with haste to her cousin Elizabeth to share the good news. You'll never guess what Greek word Luke uses to describe her actions. Spoudē. She ran with speed, with haste, with diligence. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, says this, "Never be lacking in zeal." That word we translate as zeal is really the Greek word spoudē, which Paul, I think, is reminding us to never lack that fire in our belly for Jesus. In other words, let's get on with it. Let's live our lives for Jesus. Let's grow in our faith. Let's stay connected to the vine and bear good fruit. A man once asked a little boy how old he was. The little boy didn't hesitate. He said, "I am 8, going on 9, soon to be 10. And the whole point of that little message is that that little boy was eager to grow up. What I find is that most Christians want to grow in their faith. They want to grow in their relationship with the Lord, especially when we're new in our faith. But often, as time goes on, sometimes our enthusiasm for Christ begins to fade, and we settle into a boring routine and grow spiritually complacent. There's all kinds of good reasons for our complacency. We're busy. Our plate is full. We have other things that take precedence in our lives. I don't know if you're like me, but when I get too busy in my life, I usually cut out important things. Sometimes I miss meals, believe it or not. I get so busy that I skip lunch sometimes, or I skip dinner sometimes, or I'm rushing out the door, I forget to eat breakfast. Do you ever do that? I would think food is an important thing. And sometimes I get so busy that I cut out my exercise routine. I don't take my evening walk, or I don't go to the gym. Sometimes I get so busy, I'm sure you don't do this, but sometimes I do in the past, I cut out Bible study. Sometimes people cut out prayer, and still others get so busy they cut out worship services. Isn't it funny that when we get so busy, we cut out the very things that are best for us? The end result is usually complacency. And complacency is a deadly foe of spiritual growth. I have a couple of young men that I'm friends with. One is named Cody and the other one is Austin. They're both in their mid to late 20s. They're brothers. And about 6 or 7 years ago, their grandmother approached me at a church where I was serving, and she said, "I have 2 grandsons that are in college, and they heard you speak recently, and they were wondering if you would be willing to do a Bible study with them and their friends." Now, anytime a college student asks a pastor to do a Bible study, the answer is always yes. So I contacted Cody and Austin, and we set up a time when we could begin meeting. And I met with Cody and Austin for 3 years while they were finishing college. They both now live out of state, have their own lives and their own careers. A couple weeks ago, Cody posted on Facebook a simple phrase. He said, "Easy never pays well." So I texted him, and I said, "I really like your comment, easy never pays well. I said, but I'm curious how you might apply that to the spiritual life that you're trying to live, your relationship with Jesus." The next day, Cody sent me a rather lengthy text, and with his permission, I'd like to read some of it for you this evening. Cody admitted that his post was really about his career. This is what he said in response to my question. He said, "Much like a career, when you put in the time with God, 5, 10, 15 years, and let him change you, look where you are then versus now. Create value in society as a Christian. Do good deeds for others. Practice and develop the skill set of prayer. Control your bitterness in times of grief. Put your head down and do the work. It isn't easy being a Christian. In fact, it's often hard. It's hard to keep faith in times of grief. It's hard to humble yourself. It's hard to be morally strong." Did I mention he's 25? "Divorce is easier than fighting for your marriage. Being accepting of everything is easier than standing for something you believe in. Sleeping in on Sunday is easier than waking up for church. Losing to temptation is easier than beating it. Easy doesn't pay well. It never does." I think that oftentimes in the church, not just this church, but most of the churches I've been a part of, I find that people share with me that their lives are so complicated and so busy that they struggle to stay connected to Christ. Here's what I say to myself. Here's what I say to anyone who's too busy. If your life is too busy to stay connected to Jesus, you might be doing it wrong. Sometimes people will ask me, "Pastor, I just don't feel very close to Christ anymore." And I usually have a series of questions that I ask when people share that with me. The first one is always, how is your prayer life? Or I'll ask, "What has God been revealing to you in Scripture lately?" Or I'll ask, "Where are you serving?" Or I'll ask things like, "What have your patterns of giving been like lately? Have you been in worship at church on a consistent basis? Are you meeting with other believers in small group settings?" And more often than not, the answer to these types of questions, to those who say that they do not feel close to Christ anymore, is usually no. "I haven't been praying," or "I haven't been in the Scriptures," or "I haven't been serving," so on and so forth. Last week, I was at the gas station at Kroger, just filling up my tank, and I looked over and I saw a young man who's had the hood of his car up, and there were two or three other gentlemen standing around. They were all offering advice why the car wasn't starting. "It's got to be the catalytic converter," one guy said. Finally, someone said, "Have you tried jumper cables?" So someone got the jumper cables and hooked it up to a good battery and placed it on the car that wasn't starting, and sure enough, it fired right up. What I find is that sometimes when we are in a time of complacency in our faith journey, what we really need to do is jumpstart our faith. For some of us, it may mean starting a particular spiritual discipline like prayer or studying the Scriptures or serving in a certain way. For others of us, it may be taking a greater step of faith and serving on a mission trip. Still others, it may be meaning going on a walk to Emmaus, a three-day retreat, to discern and discover what our priorities really and truly are. Sometimes we're like an old farmer that I read about. He often described his Christian experience by using this phrase. He always said, "Well, I'm not making much progress, but I am well established." One spring, he was hauling some logs on his farm, and his wagon wheels sank deep down to the axles in the mud. As he sat there viewing his dismal situation, one of his neighbors happened to be passing by, and this neighbor always was a little troubled by the farmer's tired testimony. "I'm not making much progress, but I'm well established. So he called out, "Brother Jones, I see you're not making much progress with your tractor, but you must be very content because you're well established." It was just his way of pointing out that he was stuck. How about you? Are you stuck in your faith journey? What has been the story of your Christian experience lately? Are you making progress? Or are you, like that farmer, well established? Do you find that you're stuck in the myth of the status quo, just trying to maintain where you've been? Or have you been overcoming complacency and growing spiritually? Do you sense that the character of Christ is being developed in you? And even more importantly, can other people in your life see the noticeable difference? I want to remind you this evening that it's not going to happen on its own. It only happens when we are intentional about growing in our faith, when we get on with it and spoodee our way through our week. Let's make every effort to add to our faith. Let's get busy living. Lord God, as we pray this evening, we're reminded that apart from Jesus, we can do nothing of eternal consequence. So often, Lord, our lives are filled with busyness and activities, and we set aside some of the most important things in our life. After so long, we forget how to stay connected. And we go accustomed to living distant from you. I pray tonight, Lord, that you would light a fire under us, that you would help us to embrace the message of the Scripture that says, make every effort to add to your faith. And that we would take to heart the words of Jesus: remain in me, abide in me. Let my word remain in you. Lord, some of us are in the middle of a season of pruning. And perhaps this evening you reminded us that that's a good thing. Because the end result of that season will be a more productive faith for the kingdom of God. Grow in us, Lord, the character of Jesus. And let others around us see the noticeable difference. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, our closing hymn this evening is number 369.